I don't know what song that is.
Pull the Trigger?
What? No. I think it must be an AC/DC song.
It is an AC/DC song.
And we're back!
Yeah.
Hi, welcome to the Dave's Vault podcast.
Yeah, he said pulled the trigger, and then he's like, wait a minute, that's from a song.
That's
what
a
is
song.
That from?
It's probably AC/DC, almost assuredly. Anyways, it's not worth speculating any further on that one. Welcome back to the Dave's Vault podcast. I am Father Stephen Felicia.
I'm Father Daniel Cale. How's everyone out there in podcast land?
Oh, we'll wait good. For you to respond.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. That's right. Respond to us on Facebook and Instagram.
Yeah,
and
I'm good. Get a bunch of thumbs ups and they're okay.
Well, Father Stephen, welcome back to the Deus Vult Cave.
Yeah,
where we are recording.
I find it funny that our caves are always elevated. We're always on the second floor.
Yeah, well, I'm trying to do something about that. We'll see.
Oh, we're digging a hole in the ground.
Oh, we'll see. Yeah, that's right. No, we're just going to move to the basement, maybe.
Stay tuned.
Yeah.
Or do we make too much noise? Does the pastor want us somewhere else?
No, believe me.
It's thank
fine.
God.
Yeah, it's fine. Okay. So, no, we're gonna have a set of bookshelves, and when you pull the one book that no one will ever read, you know, it opens a door to an underground cavern.
Yeah, you've got to like slide down a pole, and as you slide down, you press the uniform button, and you put on a cassock as you go down.
That's right.
Yeah, that's great. Anyway. Yeah. And we're back.
Yeah, yeah.
We're
friends.
You have a good,
it's all friends here.
It's, well, friends here. How are you?
Yeah.
That's a change of what we normally say. How was your vacay?
Vacation was good. So yeah, we actually, in case you didn't notice, listeners, we actually recorded.
You almost certainly did.
We actually recorded those last two almost back to back so that I could get away for a couple of days. I went and spent some time at a brother priest's family lake house, which was very nice.
Super
a lot of
cool.
A lot of lakes up here in northern Indiana.
Honestly, yeah. No.
It's kind of a. We take them for granted because we live around this area, but most people don't have like access
North
to
Eastern Indiana is the Wisconsin of Indiana. There are like
hundreds a lot of lakes.
Of,
in,
there
in
are
Wisconsin.
Hundreds of lakes.
In
Alaska, excuse me.
In Alaska,
in Wisconsin,
jumping states, all over the place.
I'm all over the place, all over the map.
That's for sure. That's for sure.
Jeez.
Yep. So good. It was fun.
Yeah.
You know, just getting some time away, being able to have, you know, conversations with like-minded people and just kind of just enjoy that company of some brotherly fraternity. There were something like six or seven priests all over the place in that
Holy
lake house
smokes.
For a few days.
They were just coming and going, or you guys all stay together most of the time?
Most of us stayed most of the time. Mm-hmm. There were some who were in and out. There were some who were only there for a few. I was really only there for 3 days myself. But and then I actually went up to Chicago on that one day to go to House of Hansen.
Nice.
With Father Tony Steinecker.
Oh, very nice. That man has, that priest has great taste.
Yes, he does. Yes, he does.
So dare I ask, did you pick up anything?
I actually took a vestment. So House of Hansen is
oh yeah.
For those who are listening, this is something that only priests care about. But kind of. It's true. It's true. So it's a vestment maker. It's a custom vestment shop in Chicago. So I've been up there a couple different times. My gold set's from there. But
there are very few vestment. Well, I don't know if I can say that, but there are very few like really good vestment makers. And then sometimes it's like you even got to know somebody to get vestments made just by a private individual,
right?
But this is one of the better known inside the clerical circles.
Yeah, yeah.
Vestment makers.
They're
in Chicago.
They're up for doing custom work and stuff like that. So, the chasuble that I was vested in for my ordination, I brought it to them to get altered a little bit.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
What are you going to do? Turn it into a Philip Neri cut? Or?
Yeah, that's pretty much what I'm going to do.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
That's
yeah.
good. Take it
just
off the arms.
Take it down a little bit, make it a little bit more manageable and
wonderful.
Remove the collar and that kind of thing.
Who is it? Father Jonathan Norton did a very similar thing to a couple of vestments he received. Same place.
Yep.
Took him to House of Hansen. Sorry about your luck here. We're talking about like.
Oh, yeah. We're talking shop.
Talking seamstressy stuff.
Shop.
And
well, it's. It,
yeah, tailors. We're tailors. We're men.
Yeah. That's
our
right.
tailors handle this.
Men in tights. Anyway.
Oh, we're all over the map.
We are.
Anyways.
We haven't seen each other for a while. It's okay.
It's been a minute. Jeez.
Yep.
It honestly has. Like, it's. I was thinking about that. I was like, man, I do kind of miss you. Just a little.
Aw, just a little bit.
Just a little bit. I was like, that week went by and.
Absence makes the heart grow fonder.
Yeah, and familiarity breeds contempt.
That's right. That's why we don't spend too much time together.
I like you too much to do that, do you? That's why we don't have a daily podcast.
Yeah, thank God. It'd be over in a week.
Wait a minute. These guys are nuts.
Well, anyway, so you've been patient enough, dear listeners. Today, at the request of a particular listener, there's a listener by the name of Greg, who emailed us asking to talk a little bit about sacramentals in the life of the church.
Yes, wonderful. Right? Praise God.
And he has some sort of more particular questions about sacramentals that you'd wear as a devotional.
Oh, very cool.
So like, we'll talk about sacramentals in general, perhaps, first, mm-hmm. what the definition is by the Catechism of the Catholic Church, basically.
Right.
And if you want to, Father Stephen, there's the green book there on the shelf behind you. So you can do that. And then, so I'll let you look that up. So we'll do like sort of a general talk about what sacramentals are in the life of the church first, and then we'll kind of get into some of the differences between different sacramentals, and especially focusing, at the request of this listener, what maybe some different sacramentals are that can be worn out of a place of devotion.
Right. So I've got the definition here, and then let me just flip to the more in-depth explanation. Good.
Make sure you pull the mic to yourself there, Father.
Oh, sorry. Yeah, no.
There you go.
Am I fully reticulating? Is that the right word?
Well, only if you start articulating what the definition is.
Here we go. Sacramentals. Sacred signs which bear a certain resemblance to the sacraments, and by means of which spiritual effects are signified and obtained through the prayers of the church.
There you go.
And then a more in-depth kind of little thing. Holy Mother Church has, moreover, instituted sacramentals. These are sacred signs which bear a resemblance to the sacraments. They signify effects, particularly of a spiritual nature, which are obtained through the intercession of the church. By them, men are disposed to receive the chief effects of the sacraments, and various occasions in life are rendered holy.
Very good. Very good. So basically, as far as categories underneath sacramentals, it's basically any thing or action which helps to orient us back to the sacramental life of the church. And that can go from anything to blessings themselves. And we've had a whole episode on blessings.
Yes, we have. Oh, this is in paragraph 1667 of the Catechism of the Catholic Church.
Yeah, good reference there.
So just FYI. Sorry, didn't mean to interrupt. Just wanted to make sure before I forgot. Go ahead.
Yeah, and do some more reading too, because the Catechism has some more detail, a little bit more academic than what we're going to maybe talk about here. But I would say, everything from blessings to the things used in the context of a blessing, so holy water, exercise salt, those sorts of things. And then certain rituals themselves, right? So like, the funeral liturgies, right, are not themselves – a funeral is not a sacrament.
Like, no.
It's not considered – but it is a sacramental. I mean,
it could be a part of a mass, obviously. But the funeral itself.
Right. Mm-hmm. Yeah, the funeral liturgy in itself is a sacramental insofar as it brings us back. It can be done in the context of the mass. Doesn't have to be. Many people just have a graveside service.
Right.
But that liturgical action is itself not a sacrament, but it is a sacramental.
Cool.
Certain things for the use of the sacraments. So like a priest's chalice is a sacramental, right? The holy water used in baptism itself is not a sacrament, but it is used in the context of a sacrament. Right. It's a sacramental.
What about the holy oils? That's obviously a sacramental too, isn't it?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. Right. So even though we perform sacraments with the blessed oils, with the holy oils,
right,
they themselves are not sacraments.
Right.
Right.
And then there's obviously differences in degree here too, right? Because, what would it be? I guess, like a rosary, which is a sacramental.
Mm-hmm.
It's something that assists the life of prayer. It's a physical object that is blessed.
Right.
You know, basically any blessed object can be a sacramental to a certain degree.
Right.
But maybe a blessed rosary that's prayed often is not at the same degree as a consecrated chalice or the oil, the chrism itself.
Right.
Right? So kind
Benedict
of climbing.
Medals. Yeah.
Yeah. Right. Mm-hmm. So there are certain degrees to which these things are
variants in holiness, would we even say? In blessing?
Maybe. Perhaps just importance. I mean, I don't really know. Just, I'll just leave it at that.
Fine. Again, like, you get into certain things that can't be measured in the metaphysical or spiritual realm, and you're just like, well, it seems likely that this is
right.
definitely higher that I would treat. Well, again, not that you shouldn't treat your rosary with respect, but you would treat a priest chalice with more respect right. than you would treat the Holy Rosary, because as good as the Holy Rosary is, it doesn't hold, say, the precious blood of Jesus Christ.
Right. So. Well, so think about actually, there's the story from when Notre Dame de Paris when it burned.
Yeah.
The you know,
oh, getting it? Out,
getting out the Blessed Sacrament,
mm-hmm.
the Eucharist itself,
and
the sacrament, and then the relic of the crown of thorns. They went in and grabbed the two most important things and got them out.
Mm-hmm.
Right. So, I mean, but in degree, the first thing was to grab the Eucharist. Jesus.
Well, the Eucharist, like, is not a sacramental, though.
Right.
That is
right.
a sacrament.
So, right. The sacramentals lead up to the sacraments.
Mm-hmm.
Right. But notice that he had the time to grab the crown of thorns. So might as well get that too, you know,
right.
As far as preserving important things. Right. So,
priorities.
So that leads to another thing, even relics.
Relics are sacramentals.
Relics are sacramentals as well. The bodies of the saints, right? I mean, the sanctifying grace working in the life of that particular person is so much so that it orients our attention back to Christ, who can be found perfectly in the sacraments.
Facto.
Right? So there it is, right? That's why we venerate the saints' relics. Yeah. And so then there are other things, right? There are plenty of things that you can wear on your person.
Yeah.
Right? And one of the most popular sacramentals that's out there is the brown scapular.
Oh, that's right? a fact.
So, you know, it's interesting.
You know the history of it?
Mostly.
Okay, mostly.
You want to go ahead and give it out to him?
Well, did you already study it? Because, again, I'm just going to be pulling from my mind.
You trust my mind?
You're a fool. Yes.
You know you're
smarter than me.
As far as Carmelites go.
Okay, well, as far as there's probably some truth to that, oddly enough.
Yeah.
But no, it was meant to represent the whole brown habit. And then Saint Simon Stock, as the legend goes, received it specifically from the Blessed Mother sometime between the 10th and 12th centuries. I can't play Simon Stock all that well. But she said, you know, wear this, and he who wears it shall not perish in an eternal flame.
Right.
And there are all sorts of numerous miracles attributed to the brown scapular. And again, take it serious. Again, like, don't turn it in. Okay. No superstition.
What can it become? Yeah.
But
right, exactly.
It can easily become a superstition. Well, I've done this. You know, I've turned in a circle three times and said the magic word. So therefore, good things are going to happen to me. Okay. That's not what the church is about.
Right.
The church is, as it said, it signifies something. And then through your connection to it, it's faith in action to some extent. The God obviously listens to our prayers and answers them. Mm-hmm. So anyways, it comes to sort of signify the faith of an individual. But it was given, and then different people are still enrolled in it. So the church broadened its devotion, which was, I guess, specific to the Carmelites. I mean, the Carmelites just didn't start distributing it, but at some point,
right.
where people started entering into, like, the third orders and things like that. Well, John Paul II had a strong devotion to the brown scapular.
Right.
As a matter of fact, there's a great picture of him wearing a gigantic one.
Nice.
But he himself was not a member of the Carmelite order. But the church said, "Well, we'll broaden this devotion and allow the different gifts to be given to individuals who wish to be enrolled in the brown scapular."
Right.
And so they gain spiritual benefit from the Carmelite order.
Right. Exactly. So even so much so that any priest can invest people in the brown scapular.
Exactly. Right? I've done it several times.
Yeah. So, and not just a Carmelite thing, but it's interesting because wearing the scapular, which is a miniature form, as you say, of the habit or just the scapular of a particular religious order,
mm-hmm.
puts you in connection in a particular way to the spirituality of that order.
Fact.
So leading into that question, that problem of perhaps superstition that can happen.
Yes.
Like, the scapular is meant to be a literally something that rubs up against you to remind you of, like, what you're called to do.
Yeah.
And so the hope is not so much from the side of superstition that, like, because I'm wearing this, I'm good. I don't have to do anything about it. It's like, no, because you're wearing it, you will be continually reminded of the call you have to seek out holiness.
Exactly.
And live out. I think the brown scapular is particularly oriented towards like chastity, which is important too because of the connection with like cloistered nuns.
Sure.
You know, well, who make that vow, right?
Exactly.
So
it ties very much into the monastic lifestyle.
Right, exactly. And there are more scapulars than just the brown scapular, actually.
Oh, the green scapular keeps coming up.
Oh, really?
Do you know anything about it?
I don't know very much.
Oh, what do you do? What do you know?
Isn't it about conversion?
I think you're right. Yeah.
It's mostly about conversion, right?
Mm-hmm. It's got an image of the, I think it's got the Immaculate Heart on it, pierced with a sword, and then the Blessed Mother as well. And there might be the Sacred Heart on it too. But I keep seeing it. And I know there's a special blessing when you bless a green scapular, but I don't have it. I've got the old Roman ritual. Oh, and yeah. I take most of my blessings out of there if I have it. Mm-hmm. And some of it's not in there. So I had to print it up from off. Are online. I printed it then offline.
Anyways. Printed it off from online.
Yeah, I printed it off from online.
There you go.
Take that sentence. But the but no, and I had the green scapular one, and I really need to dig it back out because people keep bringing them to me, and I was like, well, I can bless them, but
right.
there's a more formal blessing right. for it.
And I think it's particularly for conversion of people who have like fallen away from the faith.
I think you're right.
Right. So there's that. And then there are plenty of other sacraments. There's actually, because there are so many sacramentals.
There are seven sacraments.
Yeah, there's seven
the sacraments. The perfect number of those.
Right. Yeah. There's a number of different sacramentals, especially scapulars. So much so that people sort of desired to take in like all of the sort of gifts of the spiritualities of those scapulars that there became the fivefold scapular.
Oh, really?
Which is actually sort of like they sewed together five little scapulars.
That's really cool.
Little bundle that they would wear.
Do you know? Do you know when that was established? I'm just curious.
Let me see. 1886.
That's so cool.
Yeah, Pope Leo XIII.
That's my boy.
Gave permission to bless and enroll the five scapulars cumulatively.
Gosh, was there anything he didn't do?
He's the man. Leo XIII is pretty much the man.
Not a canonized saint, though.
Yeah, someday.
I don't mean to laugh at Leo. Someday. Holy smokes.
Plenty of people are praying with him.
People are praying for Pope Leo the 13th.
Plenty of people are praying with the Pope.
Yep. Yes.
Okay, so.
It could be a t-shirt. Anyways.
So, let me see. It was originally a fourfold scapular. They added probably one more later. The brown, black, blue, and white, and then I think they added the red. So, it was known as the Redemptorist scapular.
Oh yeah.
So it was something associated with the Redemptorist order.
Hmm.
Let me just make sure of it here. So obviously we just talked about the brown scapular, the blue scapular, which is also known as the scapular of the Immaculate Conception, is due to Venerable Ursula Benincasa. So the 15th century nuns.
Huh? I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Oh, I don't.
See what the date was. I'm sorry. I've heard of her, so mm-hmm. I'm just curious.
But you're going to start seeing the pattern here. A lot of these scapulars are associated directly with religious orders.
Right.
So.
Well, it ties back into their habit, principally.
Right. So the blue scapular was the Theatine nuns. The black scapular was part of the Servite order, which.
Seven Servites.
Yeah.
Italian. So
as early as 1255.
Yep.
That's a long time. The black scapular. And there are other black scapulars, too. There's a black scapular worn by Benedictines.
Yeah.
So there's that. The red scapular is the scapular of the Passion of Our Lord and the Sacred Hearts of Jesus and Mary. So, Daughter of Charity, St. Vincent de Paul. So that's a Daughters of Charity reference scapular.
Very cool.
And then the white scapular, which I actually find very appropriate considering we're on the Deus Vult podcast. The scapular of the Most Holy Trinity.
Uh-huh.
So it's a white square scapular.
Fine.
With the Tridentine, or with the, excuse me, the...
symbol of
The Trinitarian's cross,
okay.
Which is... a red vertical line with a blue horizontal line.
Okay.
So it's red and blue cross.
Why is it? What makes you think of the Crusades about it?
Oh, well, here's the description of it. Here's the reason that the Trinitarians even exist.
Hmm.
They are the order of the Most Holy Trinity and captives. The charism was to liberate
hostage
Christians
exchange.
Taken into captivity by the Moors. And glorify the Holy Trinity.
Hostages exchange.
Yeah.
So you could, back in the day, like you'd take hostages and you'd exchange them for things like money or territory, things like that. And
one of the things Trinitarians did is they traded themselves
Right. So like that's sort of the funny thing. And because like you'd want to get like your kings and your princes back, but maybe you had like less interest in like the serfs and the foot soldiers who had been taken hostage. And good souls were like, you know what? I'll trade you my life for his. There was that shooting in France that that Islamic terrorist seized a shop, what was it, a food market or something in France.
Hmm.
And one of the cops, a Catholic with, he had like kids, he had 3 or 4 kids, still does obviously, but he said, I'll take one of the hostages' place. And the terrorist let him do it. So he swapped out with a woman. He was killed in that incident.
Wow.
When they finally stormed it, he killed the cop.
You know whose feast is this week?
What's this week? It's the 10th, the 11th. Saint Maximilian Kolbe?
Yeah.
Yeah. My boy.
There it is.
The 14th.
There it is. It's not uncommon for this sort of thing to happen, right?
Mm-hmm.
I would recommend that anybody who's thinking about trying to, get into a particular devotion to do some study about something that sort of makes sense with your life, right?
Mm-hmm.
If maybe it's something where, you know, you're the only practicing Catholic in your family, mm-hmm. and you want to pray for the conversion of your family, and the only way you can do that is sort of privately by wearing a green scapular around your neck, underneath your shirt.
That'd be
awesome.
You
know, like, there you go. That's one piece of this. Father Stephen.
Yeah, talk to me. I'm sorry, you can ask me this question, but I just want to say, I have a wedding to take care of on the 14th of August, and it just clicked that me and the guy, the bridegroom, he's a good friend, and me and him both have a very strong devotion to Maximilian Kolbe. I don't know if he did that intentionally or not, but that's super funny.
There you go.
Shout out to Ryan Ashley, if you listen to this. I'm looking forward to that, man. Super looking forward to that. I'm sorry. What were you going to ask me? Sorry.
I was going to ask you, do you have any particular devotion to, by way of any particular either scapular or other devotional that you wear, other sacramental?
Oh, I've got a four-way medal on, matter of fact.
Okay, all right.
I really do.
You want to give a description of the four-way medal?
Well, that it's got 4 saints on it. So again, it's kind of in the vein of the scapular you just described.
Sure.
Again, there are many medals, and so the church tried to cut down on a guy wearing, you know, all of them at the same time. And again,
you can always tell them by the way they were hunched over.
Yeah, there isn't necessarily anything wrong with wearing multiple medals. In fact, I wear 2.
Yeah.
But the four-way medal has the Sacred Heart on it. It has a Miraculous medal on it. Has Saint Christopher on it, and it has Saint Joseph on it, holding the Child Jesus.
That's awesome.
And I was actually given it. I was given it for my first communion by my cousin Paula, and I've been wearing it more or less continuously since then. And we thought it was the longest time. We thought it was just a scapular medal. So like you can wear a medal in place of the brown scapular, if for instance your job description like is going to like do a ton of wear and tear on your brown scapular, that's when you're given permission, I'm pretty sure, to wear a scapular metal
version.
And in fact, it might be. I'd have to look this up. Wild speculation on the Deus Vault podcast.
Forget that.
It might be that the four-way medal is indulgenced with like all the attachments of the brown scapular to boot with all the other ones too.
Cool.
Okay, cool. But I've been wearing this, honestly, since the academy. And I remember, again, the ring or whatever that links into the chain, that links the medal to the chain.
Mm-hmm.
This little piece right here. I remember it was pretty flimsy and like, I was pretty scared because it fell off my chain like once or twice in the shower. So I had to recover the metal quick. And so I got a better one. I haven't had that problem since 05 or 06.
Nice.
But I really do treasure this thing. I wore it in Afghanistan. And even though it wasn't a brown scapular medal, I don't mind having St. Christopher and St. Joseph having my back. And of course, it's always good to have the Blessed Mother and the Sacred Heart around your neck. And then I have another one around my neck. And this is St. Michael. And it's
I saw the shield. I wondered if it was St. Michael.
And it's done in a very much in the style of the Orthodox, of Eastern Rites.
Oh, really?
Because guess who gave it to me? Wolf Hendricks. That was on the day that his son was baptized. I became the godfather of Emerson Drake Hendricks, And that's the name of my godson.
His name really is Dragon.
That's his son's name.
Never mind.
Anyways, his son's name is Dragon. Anyways.
Yeah. Should we tell the good people of God who are listening to this episode of the podcast about the line you usually drop?
Oh, so it was the line he used, but I use it now all the time for Wolf, because I always introduce my friend. As Wolf said to me and stuff, and they'll say, like, Wolf, and I'll be like, my friend's name is Wolf Hendricks.
It's like, is that really his name?
I'll say, no, his real name is Dragon. Anyways.
But the fact that his
like, you just got to grow up
middle
tough.
Middle name is Drake. Mm-hmm. That's pretty good.
You've got to grow up freaking tough if you're named Wolf Hendricks. And... like, because, like,
he's got to play electric guitar, right?
Nobody's going to take it easy on you. But he got to be like 6.5 feet tall. Well, you met him. Anyway,
yeah.
He's good. He looks the part of a West Point grad. Good for him.
Buff Elvis.
But the good looking and strong. He wants. Oh, they probably don't. Yeah, I'll tell the story.
Sure.
So, anyways, like, I don't know if I've told this story on here, but you're going to get it again. Did I ever tell you the one about the general on this one in Wolf Hendricks?
No.
He's probably got a bunch of general stories. Wolf used to work in the Pentagon. And he was relatively low rank to be working in the Pentagon. Like, a lieutenant colonel's considered, like, low rank to be working in the Pentagon, and Wolf was only a major. Only. Anyway, beat me. Anyway, it's not a competition. But yeah. He was... I was at his promotion when he made major. It would happen on the steps of the Lincoln Memorial. It was really cool. Mm-hmm. Anyways, this one general walked in. And as I said, Wolf's like really tall. And the general was somewhat short. But for whatever reason, Wolf Hendricks is a man you either like love or hate. And probably just because of who he is. He's pretty sanguine and outgoing. And, you know, he's taller than you, stronger than you, better looking than you. And people like him more. So like... There really is no middle ground. With you either like him yourself
and
or you don't.
He's a major and you're just a captain.
Well, and there's a general. And They're in a room full of like lieutenant colonels and colonels and stuff. And the general came in and said some joke. And everybody laughed because the general told the joke. But Wolf said something like, ah, sir, that just makes me want to give you a big hug or something. And like I said, Wolf's low man on the totem pole. But he's like really big and strong. But everybody knows like he's the major and everybody else is like colonels and generals and stuff. And the general laughed. He said, oh, Wolf, would you really give me a hug? He said, sir. And before anyone could do anything, Wolf scooped him up, scooped him up in his arms and lifted him off the ground gave him a big bear hug. And the general loves it. And he's just laughing and says, oh, Wolf. And he's got the general's back is to all the other colonels. And Wolf gives the eye to every other colonel and general in that room, like as he's hugging this general. Basically like, yeah, I can get away with this.
Oh, my gosh.
You remember that forever. Totally pulled one over on the dominant spectrum.
I was like, that is the sidebar of all sidebars. How does this relate to sacramentals?
It doesn't. I was just talking about Wolf Hendricks.
Okay. All right.
He gave me that sacramental around my neck.
Right. Oh, anyways, there's the connection.
We get along. He's in Wisconsin. That ties back into that lake comment I had. Man, very the good. Glaciers just took their time melting up there. Anyways, those are the sacramentals I have. What do you have?
Okay.
Wolf Hendricks could be a sacramental.
We're not going to get into that.
Yeah, stop. Okay. Fire. Ceasefire.
So, I have my favorite sacramental that I wear is a particular crucifix. It was a sacramental instituted by Pope Pius X. Mm-hmm. It's kind of got a little bit of a history too. Not quite the level of Leo the 13th, but it's pretty good. Pretty good, you know. But anyway, Pius X. It's the pardon crucifix.
Saint Pius the 10th.
Yeah.
Yeah, Leo's not even declared a canonized saint. Like, he's not quite like Leo.
I just mean it's not as old as stuff
I gotcha.
Put
I
in
gotcha.
By Leo. Okay. So the pardon crucifix. The pardon crucifix is really pardon very, very, very beautiful. For one thing, it's just a very beautiful crucifix.
Given
itself.
To you by Chris
Chris Lucius.
Lucius.
Yeah, that's right. Shout out to Chris Lucius, newly married. Yeah. So this one in particular was given to me by him and I still wear it. I've worn a number of different ones. But it's really, so for one thing, the cross itself and you know, the aesthetics of it, it's very beautiful. It has the Latin inscription above Jesus' head on the cross. Jesus Nazarenus Rex Judaeorum.
Here, so, Jesus Christ, King of the Jews.
Right, exactly.
Jesus, King of the Jews.
This one in particular has it in Latin. And on the back, the back is probably the most notable part of this particular sacramental. So in the intersection of the cross on the reverse, it has an image of the Sacred Heart.
Right.
And then on the two bars of the cross, the vertical and horizontal bars, on the vertical bar, it says, "Behold this heart which has so loved men."
Mm.
And then on the horizontal bar, "Father, forgive them." So it's literally mercy and love intersecting at the Sacred Heart of Jesus on the cross.
Justice and peace have met.
Right. So, I mean, it's very good. And at the foot of the cross, on the bottom, on its base, just below the bottom nail, and by the way, you can see the three nails in the back,
mm-hmm.
the two that held his hands and the one that went through both his feet. And at the base, just under that bottom nail, you see a very, very clear AM, which is the Auspice Maria. It's a symbol for Mary.
Yeah.
So Mary standing at the foot of the cross.
Oh, how nice.
Right? With a little star there, sort of one of those images of
star of
like
the
star of the sea kind of thing, mm-hmm. right? Yep. Some pardon crucifix have attached to them, very akin to the four-way medal,
yeah.
Other medals.
Mm-hmm.
This is sort of meant to be kind of like a powerhouse medal, just right. like that, where it has also...
Combo breaker! Shout out to anyone who plays like 90s and early 2000s video games. Anyways.
That. So, it has a miraculous medal attached to the one side. And then also has a Saint Benedict medal on the other side,
mm-hmm.
which I'm like, oh great, it means I don't have to have a separate Saint Benedict medal for my Benedictine devotion.
But do you?
What?
What's the other medal?
The other one is the Angelic Warfare Confraternity.
Oh, nice. Yeah. Nice.
So from my more Dominican side.
Yeah.
yeah. So this is another thing. Some medals and scapulars and things not only attach you to the spirituality of a particular religious order, but also other confraternities.
Mm-hmm.
The Angelic Warfare Confraternity is particularly oriented towards chastity, much like the bronze scapular.
Praise God.
And it's good. I'm a priest, right? Celibate chastity.
All about that.
I mean, it's particular in a particular way, a different way for the priesthood. The Angelic Warfare Confraternity, I was actually installed in this by a Dominican priest who gave us a retreat at the Mount one time.
Really?
Yeah.
You remember his name?
Father Hyacinth.
Cool.
Father Hyacinth. Yeah. So he came and gave our retreat, and while he was around, I was like, "Well, I've studied up on the spirituality of this particular confraternity. I want to be a part of it."
Mm-hmm.
And some of these, so we've kind of named a lot of these different devotionals.
Yeah, and there are many more.
Right.
Again, we didn't even describe the Benedict Medal itself, which is right. a big one.
It's got all sorts of imagery on it.
Right.
But the whole point of this is not just to wear something to sort of show, to like virtue signal to the church, your particular orientation in the life of the church.
I have Carmelite spirituality.
Really?
What is some that? Of you don't even know what that is.
I don't even know what that is, but I have it, you know? It's like, okay, all right.
But so, and also, on the side note, it's not a sin to necessarily wear your medals outside of your clothing either, by
right,
the way.
Right,
yeah,
right.
I mean, it's sure. know thyself, but right. yeah.
Mm-hmm. But there's usually certain prayers and a certain spirituality that one should try to adopt in a, you know, that's appropriate to you know, the sacramentals that one wears.
Mm-hmm.
And I would say collecting sacramentals, if you're wearing the fivefold scapular and the pardon crucifix and a four-way medal and the angelic warfare confraternity and whatever and this thing,
right.
but you don't use any particular one of them to help you grow your spiritual life. You're doing it wrong.
you're you know, again, and perhaps unknowingly. Again, right. perhaps you're very pious. Praise God.
Yeah.
But the more you know about, I'm just going to slide into spiritual warfare real quick. I promise I'll dive right out.
Yeah.
But the more you know about the weapon, the more effective you can be with it.
Right.
And again, praise God, you have some devotion to it. Great. Mm-hmm. But like the more you understand, again, like you know. I can pull the trigger on this and not just swing it as a club. Yeah. That's the main part.
Right. I mean, a soldier walking into an arsenal is only as good as his skill with any particular weapon.
There it is.
Right. So, I mean, that's sort of the thought there.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not to say that you couldn't become proficient in multiple weapons. But
oh, yeah. In fact, that looks really cool in movies.
Yeah. So, on the order of spiritual warfare. So it's actually very, very good. Thank you, listener Greg, for leading us into this, because these things are meant to be sort of tools for us to be able to fight well that spiritual oh, yeah. battle.
Sword right? and shield, really.
Yeah. yeah.
Well, again, like the St. Michael medal, I would...
Putting on the armor of God.
Right. And that was before I was a seminarian, even. And I was We were soldiers once and young. But the, it's also the name of a book and a movie.
Yep.
But the, but like, again, like I had a devotion in the army to St. Michael and St. Barbara. In fact, my St. Barbara medal's back at the rectory. I don't carry it anymore. I really should, especially with all the storms that have been rolling through late. I've been saying a lot of prayers to St. Barbara.
Yep.
But create the thunder. But the, I'm just saying. The she just wants me to remember she's there. Again, the storm serves multiple purposes. But the but no, the St. Michael medal around my neck was a big devotional. Jumping out of airplanes, angels have wings and stuff. Again, call it simple-minded and stuff. Maybe I wasn't quite swinging it like a club, but maybe I wasn't shooting the most accurate. But it drew my mind back to him and reminded me to pray to him. And did demonstrate a kind of devotion to a patron saint of the military and the armed forces, and especially to paratroopers. And so there you go. Off you went. And then the four-way medal, again, or even then, like the history of the four-way medal, they can't even trace it really effectively. They know it's sometime around the 16th century, they start casting them. And it's indulgenced at this point. But like the specifics of it are honestly, like, it's funny, like even like 500 years ago, like not all the records are in, kind of thing.
Right.
And the but it's indulgenced, and it has, you know, it's asking all these saints to intercede for you.
Do we want to do a
it wouldn't have been the 16th century, although there was probably a four-way medal cast then too, but
right.
because it's incorporates the miraculous medal, which was 19th century devotion. Oh. It's been updated since. So anyways,
I wonder if I'm sure it's gone through some iterations over its mm-hmm. life. I was wondering if we should do a bit of a thing either right now or maybe even a full episode on indulgences.
Oh, yeah.
So understanding what they are and understanding how they're sort of achieved, you know, to use that word sort of lightly.
Honestly, it'd be a lot of fun, I think, to give it its own episode.
Sure.
I can spitball decently enough because right. it's worth talking about, but like the whole history and that sort of thing, and then the trouble we got into.
The 1500s? Yeah.
Yeah, and then the trouble we got out of. And then the fact that, like, it's super cool. Like, we have access to all this spiritual capability. And, again, I dare say because there's a lot of fear that centers around things like superstition or, like, offending, like, our Protestant neighbors or things like that, that they just really haven't been preached or talked about.
Right.
To be fair, you know, I've been doing my job for a year, and I think I've only mentioned indulgences maybe like 3 or 4 times in the course of my homilies. And to be fair, I haven't done them even justice then. It wasn't like I dedicated the homily to it.
Right.
We should do more on it. Yes, that will be its own podcast, unless yeah. you want to go over it now.
No, I think it could be worth a whole podcast, but a whole episode.
Mm-hmm.
But I think just on the short order of things, talking about, you know, what it is that indulgence is really sort of, at least how it can be gained. Right. Mm-hmm. So to where, because like the pardon crucifix, for instance, whoever carries on his person the pardon crucifix may gain an indulgence.
Nice.
Devoutly kissing the crucifix, an indulgence is gained. Right. Whoever says one of the following invocations before his crucifix may gain each time an indulgence. Our Father who art in heaven, forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. Or I beg the Blessed Virgin Mary to pray to the Lord our God for me. And so like indulgences are gained simply by just having the devotion attached to the particular sacramental.
Right. You can gain a plenary indulgence by right. praying your rosary and then offering up prayers for the Pope following the rosary.
Right. And then there's also certain obligations to going to confession.
Right, right. And making and a good communion.
And receiving Holy Eucharist, you know, mm-hmm. worthily in that time frame.
Exactly.
You know? So we can maybe go into more in depth of what those things mean in a future episode.
Sure. Absolutely.
Yeah.
But no, so the sacramental, and brothers and sisters, like it's amazing how God works through these too. Mm-hmm. Again, like not to be superstitious, but like right. there are, I know stories, and some of them firsthand, of people who have like broken their connection to sin simply by putting on like a Saint Benedict medal. People who have, you know, you hear all the survival stories. There was a... I withhold on telling the story until I have permission from the person who actually went through the whole thing to tell it. But there was a person who was in a very serious, life-threatening situation, and they kept their brown scapular on, and that played a role wow. in their survival and things like that. So, like, God loves to work through tangible items, just to be like, yeah, no, it's me, really, guys.
Right.
And it's incredible the progress people make through
right.
these devotionals and through these sacramentals. So I highly encourage
right.
the people out there. I mean,
can I give a description? I think it's important for people to recognize, like, for one thing, like, sacramentals are meant to reorient us towards the most important things, right? It's kind of like, I would say it's kind of like a seasoning on sort of the nutritious meal that is the sacramental life of the faith, right? Mm-hmm. So, like, to follow through on that metaphor, the nutritious part of the meal, which is our life of faith, mm-hmm. You know, definitely includes, like, the sacraments and the grace that comes from that thing. But perhaps the seasoning, which helps to sort of fill out the practice of the faith around those sacraments and makes us have a greater desire to receive those sacraments, would be sacramentals.
Mm-hmm.
You know, these things which reorient ourselves towards those things. It's sort of the extra things around it that bring us closer to that central, you know, the core teaching of the faith.
Well, here's a good story, and it doesn't go, again, and not that they aren't true, but it doesn't go into the too, like, extraordinary from the sacramentals. But there was a man, a seminarian, and he was struggling with an addiction, and this addiction required him to go to certain places. Okay. And he was on his way out, again, struggled with it for a long time, and he was literally considering leaving the seminary, like, literally walking out of it and going to one of, you know. And he stopped, and he grabbed the crucifix, and he just held on to that and just clutched that sacramental. Mm-hmm. And in that moment, that was the moment of grace when, like, everything changed and never been back since, kind of thing. The you know, it's amazing how these things, how God wants to work. It was like the tangible aspect of the faith that I cling to.
Mm-hmm.
I've been allowed to sort of clutch now. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And because you're a physical being, mm-hmm. and we're not just pure spirit and pure angels, we work through material,
right?
And God likes it like that. He likes it when we use creation to sort of give glory to Him. And,
well, because think of it this way,
yeah,
you know, in that sense, right? We are tangible beings, mm-hmm. you know, I got stuff to me,
right?
Made of matter, and for us to be able to interact with God, well, of course, we're going to be able to interact with Him on the terms of His own creation, right? Also, like, what better way to be thankful to God for the gift of creation than by giving it back to Him, right? The only thing that can possibly be given back to God is anything that He's already made.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, no.
Like, including your whole self, right? I mean, it leads into that very, very self-sacrificial nature of things. But if anything in your life can be turned in the direction of giving it back to God, then it is, in a certain sense, a sacramental.
Your skill at metalworking, for instance, since we've been talking principally about metals, but I mean, honestly, it's like sewing and seamstressing, fine, and scapulars.
Right.
But like, you can strike metals for the greater glory of God. Mm-hmm. And then in that sort of structured aspect of, like, people love it.
Mm-hmm.
Again, like, what do you, the fruit salads that decorate, like, the general's, you know, the eye candy, so to speak. Again, like, remember why you do it. Ike Eisenhower, a 5-star general, only ever had like 10 ribbons on his chest, and most of them weren't very big. The Patton had like 40. And then, and nowadays, God bless them, you've got generals who it's pretty much like wrapping over their shoulder and going down their back, because they've done so much, because they won World War II. Mm-hmm. Anyways, not judging.
Yep.
Anyways, but remember why you do it. But what are those, why in a world where, like, you know, that was claims to be like completely secular and that sort of thing, what are these ribbons signifying?
Right.
Medals. And what are these medals supposed to signify? Virtue. Mm-hmm. And what's virtue? Something intangible.
Mm-hmm.
And what's it supposed to be drawing your mind to? A sense of devotion, accomplishment.
Devotion to what exactly?
An interesting question.
Mm-hmm.
Anyways,
hopefully, ultimately, back to God.
Please, God.
Right.
So, but again, like, you can see very easily in the ribbons that decorate soldiers' chests, how it can be both for the good and for the bad.
Mm-hmm.
And
it can be a source of pride.
It can be
pride in the vice sense of the term.
Yeah, pride and vanity.
Yeah.
And but But neither here nor there. I'm just saying, like, you see it in everything. Like, human beings love tangibility, some way to signal that the invisible is actually quite real.
Right.
And the more we can decorate that, the more we can communicate through it,
right,
the better. But imagine if that thing that's decorative, that symbolizes something, is also blessed and
right,
is like more unified into the divine.
Right.
That's what the church provides you with, this right, sacramental.
Exactly.
Wear a miraculous medal, my brothers and sisters. Wear a Benedictine medal. Wear the pardon crucifix. Like, find a devotion and understand it, and then cling to it.
Right. Because it takes you to God, right? Mm-hmm. It's, keep in mind, like, this is a very, very top, like, anything sacramental, and I'm using that term
broadly.
Anything sacramental is a top-down kind of thing and not a bottom-to-the-top sort of thing. By that, I mean to say, sort of availing oneself to the sacraments or availing oneself to sacramentals that one wears or you know, holy water or whatever, anything that is as asacramental by the definition of the church, right? You are making use of those things to remind you of the grace and mercy of God that is there and to prayerfully ask God to provide that to you. It's not as if, you know, you sprinkling holy water on something is, you know, you're not blessing it by your power.
Right.
Right. It's not a superstitious act of I'm doing this thing so that I'll be good.
Right. It's like that. That would be like thinking of it as magic, a mechanism kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
Now, again, don't be afraid to sprinkle your house with holy water, but do it in the context of your trust and belief that God is with you.
Right.
And is in that holy water is some connection to his church kind of thing.
Right.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So that's the beauty of the sacramental. And I would say, you know, go and do some more study on what sacramentals are in the life of the church, and sort of be reminded, you know, that this is deeper than even what we can provide for you here on this show. There's much more to learn in the life
of faith.
We
didn't even talk about the miraculous medal.
Right.
Again, which is amazing. And mm-hmm, we didn't talk about all kinds of other stuff.
Mm-hmm.
The Benedictine medal, which is a beautiful medal.
Yeah, chock full.
And all kinds of stuff.
Right.
Trying to think if there's anything else that just jumps into my mind that's a really cool sacramental. But nothing's coming to me. Wearing a simple crucifix, even, is, again, a beautiful, beautiful devotion.
The medals of any saints, I mean.
Oh, yeah. Well, the St. Michael medal doesn't have a specific blessing or anything like that. But
right,
it's blessed. This medal is blessed, and it ties me closer to this patron. So, yeah.
Yeah, having medals of your patron saints is important.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if you have many, many saints whom, you know, on whom you call for help, maybe choose one or two really important ones to have on a necklace, just as a helpful reminder to call on the communion of saints for help, because they are before the face of God.
Mm-hmm.
That's entirely the point. They're perfectly united to him. And that's the whole point here. I mean, it's about growing into that place of unity with God, which is only perfected completely in heaven.
Right. And again, caveat, if you have like 10 saint medals on a chain that you wear, great, praise God.
Yeah.
But nothing wrong with that. Just do it for the right reason. Mm-hmm. And don't forget who's on the chain.
Yeah. Oh, I forgot you were on there.
Yeah.
Oh, maybe we should pray to you today.
I love those. Oh, they're those nice, they're saint bracelets. They're,
they
go around the arm too. I've seen those knotted. They've got Benedict medals and different saint medals. Mm-hmm. Those are cool too.
Yep.
Some of our friends wear those. So praise God. Anyways.
Yeah. It's all very good.
Mm-hmm.
So, thank you, dear listener, Mr. Greg. I don't know your last name.
But that's all right. Greg,
Greg,
thank you so much.
Greg, thanks for your request. And it provided hopefully some good content for it today. Let us know your thoughts about sacramentals. Maybe even tell us on Facebook or Instagram what your favorite sacramental is.
Oh, that'd be cool.
And what you know about it, and you know, help to continue the growth and knowledge of the faith for faithful other listeners of the show, and anyone else who falls upon our Facebook page or whatever.
falls upon it.
It's like a
dash to pieces.
That's right. Who trips over, I should say.
Yeah. We became a stumbling block, eh?
Yeah. Hopefully no scandals going on here. So, okay. I think that about does it for today. My friends, those of you who are listening to this episode and spread it around to your other friend listeners, just to let everyone know, this is a couple episodes in advance, but once we hit episode 50, Father Stephen and I are going to take a 1 month break. Don't worry, we're not going anywhere. We're just going to take a little bit of time off.
I need to sleep.
So we're going to do that. We're going to take a little bit of a vacation from the show. This is going to be helpful for us to sort of rejuvenate our sort of pool of ideas, things to talk about, things to provide content for on the show, as well as we have a couple of other things in store. A couple of things that I'm really excited about. Father Stephen's really excited about as far as developments with the show. Some of it is just going to be personal stuff. Like, I'm hoping to get our studio in a more permanent location that's a little more feasible to us. Right now, it's a little ramshackle.
I like it. It reminds me of being in Afghanistan. We take a $1,000 piece of equipment and staple it to a piece of plywood. I'm not even joking.
That's more or less what's happening right now. So we're going to try to put ourselves in a little better environment to do some recording, as well as some other fun things, which will be revealed when we come back. But we have this episode, and we have two more episodes to come, and then we'll take that break, and we'll see you at the end of, at that point, we will see you at the end of, like, September.
Right. So, we'll let you know when we're taking our break.
Yep.
It's all good.
Yep. So, God bless you all. Find us on Facebook, Instagram, email us at dayspotpodcast@gmail.com, and let us know if there's anything else you'd like to hear about. There are a couple more people who are sort of on the list of possible topics we might talk about and touch on.
Wonderful.
Before we take our break. But yeah, so that's all up and coming on the Deus Volt podcast.
Ooh.
God bless you, and always
Deus Volt.